Ephesians 4, just three verses. What I'm going to share with you tonight is what I believe are the keys to change. The keys to change. And so if you're here tonight and you say, you know what, there's some things I want to change in life, this is how it works. And so Ephesians 4, verse 22, and we'll read down to verse 24. It says that you put off concerning the former, that word conversation means your conduct, the way you live. That you put off concerning the former conduct or the conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And what you have in those verses are a compact, concise description of how a person changes. And so we're going to look at some specifics of that tonight. And if you're here tonight and you say, man, there's some things I need to change in my life. How do I change? That is a struggle for every person in this room. And we're going to see from God's word how that process works. And so ask God's blessing real quick, and we'll summarize some of these thoughts. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And help us to stay focused on the truth. Lord, we need light and truth. Lord, there's so much deception in the world. So many false thoughts can even come into our minds. And so just get rid of the fog, the haze, and just bring clarity to our minds and help us to be everything you want us to be. Lord, help us to be willing to surrender and to turn all that we are over to you. And I pray if anyone doesn't know you, that they might come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Man, you can be seated tonight. Who here has found changing something that's difficult to do? You're like, you know, something you want to quit, and it's like, this is just not easy to stop being this way. We are people of habit, and we create patterns in our life, and it's really hard to break those things. And I would say this, willpower is not enough. Willpower is not enough. We need God power, right? So willpower just doesn't pull it off. And you ever had that where... And that's where people get frustrated. They'll do this. They'll say, you know what? I prayed to God about it. I determined in my heart to try to change. I did everything I know how to do, and I still, you know, I still fall here, still fall there. And so there is a difficulty to change, and it's a reality. What has been the greatest key to change in your life? Think about that. What has been the greatest key to change in your life? Accountability?
Willingness.
Truth. Surrender, being open. We get so close sometimes we're not willing to surrender. And that's a big word. That's good. Surrender's scary, isn't it? Real scary. Humility. Where does change and transformation start? What's the starting point? What is the raw starting point if somebody wants to make a change in their life?
Desperation.
Being desperate. Being vulnerable. It's very, very true. Being able to acknowledge. I would say this, before you take a vehicle, when you take a vehicle to a shop to get it worked on, what do they call that first process they take it through? A diagnostic process. And what's the purpose of a diagnostic process? To see what's wrong. And our problem is we don't like being diagnosed. Isn't that true, Jacob? I know. It's like, oh, I don't like that, man. I'd rather just cover it up, you know. We don't want to be diagnosed. I don't want my wife diagnosing me with something. You know, you have a bad attitude today. No, I don't. You got a bad hearing day today, you know. I mean, we don't like it, man. We get irritated. You guys know what I'm talking about, you know? We're like, I don't know where I'm from. They're always yelling around the house. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know where they got it from, man. And so change starts, and there's a process of change, and we got to start being willing to be diagnosed. And I would say this, Jesus told us the word is light, and it reveals things about us. And I will say this, the greatest way you can know yourself is knowing God. The more you know about God, the more you will know about yourself. Ultimate reality is in Him. And so the less a person knows about God, the less they understand. Sunday, I'm probably looking to preach on, I had a couple messages, I was talking to Rick today, on why bad things happen. Why do 26 people get shot up in a church down in Texas? So I'm going to be preaching on that Sunday. So I encourage you to come out. I think it's a big and good question. I'll just premise it this way: if God is powerful enough and He's all knowing, if He has the power, why doesn't He stop it? And if He doesn't stop it, does that just mean He doesn't care? And so we're going to look at some tough questions and answer them from the Bible. So you need to know those things, right? And maybe today you're struggling with some stuff in your life, like how on earth could God, if He had the power to stop these things from happening to me, God, why didn't You stop them? And those are good questions, and you're going to find out what the Word of God says about that. God's not afraid of those questions, is He? And so we can see some of that. But where does change start from? And I will say this, change starts with God. It starts with being transformed by Him. 2 Corinthians says, if any man's in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. Change starts by surrendering, turning your life and will over to God. There's a point in life where you say, you know what, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the power. And you make that turn to God. And the Bible tells us in John 8:34, Jesus said, if a person lives in sin, they are a slave to sin. I know Stacy was talking about anger. When I was a kid, man, I struggled with anger. I had two older brothers, man. My anger was off the charts. And my older brother could whip my tail. I never could whip him, ever. He was so strong and like big. He was 4 years older than me. And he would make me so mad, I couldn't control my anger, though. Like, I would come up and like, I would hit him in the back of the head, and I couldn't handle it. Like, I would just lose it. And then I knew I would get pummeled. Like, I literally, I mean, it was so ruthless. He would beat me to death, and I'm like, this is so unfair, you know? And then he would go back to doing something, I'd just come up and nip. And the only time I won, I finally got a ball bat, and I hit him with a ball bat, and he cried. I'd never seen my brother cry before, like, from me. I was like, you know how people drop the mic? I dropped the bat. I was like, you go. You go. He goes running to mom and dad. I was like, you go run to mom and dad. You little girl. You know, I'm yelling at him. And man, mom and dad, they just lit me up. But I struggled with that anger, and I couldn't control it. And I remember getting in trouble in games. I would act out. I'd get frustrated. And I was a slave to that. And you know what Jesus said in John 8:36? He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so God can set us free from all these things that we struggle with. Doesn't mean we're not going to struggle with them at times in life, but there's a freedom that He gives us. And so I would ask this question. If change starts with Jesus Christ, why can the Christian life be such a battle? If I am saved, why can't it be such a battle? So if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, it starts with a relationship with Him. That's where freedom starts. But as a Christian, we still battle, right? I mean, it's still tough. And so the reason it's tough is because Romans 7 tells us, though we are saved in our spirit, we still live in the flesh. We still have to deal with this stuff called the flesh, and there's a sinful desire in us. We do wrong because we want to do wrong, right? We yell at our kids and act out in wrong ways because it's easy to do that, isn't it? We say the wrong things, we act out, we partake in wrong things, we smoke because we like to smoke. I mean, we because there's a desire to do wrong, but also in our but inside of us, it's like, don't, you shouldn't have said that, don't say that, don't act. And there's a conviction on the inside, but we battle. And the Bible says there's two natures in us, the old sinful nature in the flesh and the new man in the spirit. And they fight one with another. The Bible also tells us that there is a spiritual warfare. And Rick talked about this last week. And it's a reality, man. I tell you, I've dealt with it in my life. I've talked to several of you in this room who real intense spiritual battles in your life. Like, it comes in seasons. It comes in waves. It could be like a month long. It could be a week long. But it just hits you, and you're like, my goodness, like, I am just getting swallowed up by these thoughts, this all this coming on me. And sometimes it's like survival mode, and it's like, what is that? And then it goes away, and it'll come, you know, there's waves of spiritual attack. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, we don't fight with flesh and blood, but we fight against a spiritual enemy. And so that's a reality. So let's look at three ways of change. This is, how do I change? How do I live in the Spirit? How do I overcome the battles? And how do I really change? The first point is this in verse 22. Change starts with what verse 22 says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. So change starts by putting off the old man. And who is the old man? The Bible calls him the flesh. He is the flesh. Romans 6 calls the old man the body of sin. In Romans 7:18, Paul says, in our flesh dwells no good thing. There's nothing good in my flesh. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. In those verses prior to this, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth or from now on walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so he's telling us here the old man has a godless walk, he has a godless mind, and he has a godless heart. And he also says in verse 19, notice this, Ephesians 4 verse 19, he says this, who being past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What does lasciviousness mean? That word means unrestrained lust. It speaks of partaking in lustful sins without any control. And it also has the idea of having no guilt or shame. Like you can do something and there's no inward, there's nothing there. It says they're past feeling. They're callous to conviction. There's no, and I've said this before, and it's so true. God gave us a physical nervous system so that we don't hurt ourselves. If you didn't have a nervous system, we would probably all be dead because we wouldn't feel the infections, the illnesses, the injuries that we have, and we would get infected and die. And so we have a nervous system to where if you get a splinter and you don't notice that splinter, you'll get infected after a while, and it'll hurt, and man, you got to get that thing out, and that nervous system lets you know that. And we had a guy in our church who had lost his feelings in his feet because of his diabetes. He was out mowing his yard. He stepped on a nail. Nail went in his foot, and he mowed his entire yard with a nail in his foot. That's what a lack of a nervous system will cause. And later on, he ended up losing his foot. And so those things are a reality. And so what your nervous system is to your body is what conviction is to your soul. And when you sin enough and you get hardened enough, you can do things that you should feel like they are wrong, but there's no feeling there. I've sat down with several people in the last couple months who looked at me and they said, Josh, I know what I'm doing is wrong in my mind, but I have no feeling of it being wrong. I don't feel nothing. I had a guy tell me this. He said, I saw where some people had died, and I laughed. He said, I feel nothing. I'm like, phew. The Bible talks about people are given over to a reprobate mind, a conscience that doesn't function. They can see people die and they're like, I don't care. They have nothing. That's what the guy did when he went and shot those people up. There's nothing there. I read reports daily on the news of just the most wicked, sick things that people are doing. People putting kids in microwave, to burying their own kids, to throwing them in garbage, to drowning them in their bathtub. I'm like, what kind of world is this living in? This is the main news networks sharing these terrible like stories of just horrendous things daily happening around this country. That's giving ourselves past feeling. This is a wicked place. And you know, some of us in here know what that gets to. Where you get to a point where it's like, I don't feel bad. I know I shouldn't have done that, but man, what I did against my kids, I did against this person, I stole that, I hurt this, I've hurt that person. I mean, we can get to that point where there's nothing there. And I tell you what, conviction is a blessing. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Embrace it. That's your feelings. And so here's a few other things that the old man is. Ephesians 4:19 tells us he's greedy. Ephesians 4:25 says he's a liar. Ephesians 4:26, the next verse says he's angry. Verse 28 says he is a thief. Verse 29 says he's got a filthy mouth. He says filthy things. Verse 31 and 2 says he won't forgive people. That's what the old man does. And so why is it important to recognize what the old man does? Listen, because you cannot diagnose him if you don't know what he's doing wrong. We need to diagnose ourselves. We need to go into Ephesians and say, show me where I'm off, Lord. Show me what the Word of God says. And I need you to show me. So if the Bible tells me I shouldn't do this stuff, I need to stop. Have you ever thought something was okay that you found out later was not okay? Anybody ever had that happen before? It's like, man, I thought I was clean with that. I didn't know that was not right, you know. And I've had people sit in church, they're like, some of you guys have done that to me. You're like, you start hitting your, you know, somebody, you know, I mean, we find out something that's wrong. I didn't know that was wrong. Like it's in the Bible. And so, man, you know, God can wake us up. That's happened to me in my life as a young man growing up and like, oh man, I didn't know that was wrong. I remember talking to a guy who said, I was working construction in a factory and And this guy's wife just dropped him off, man, with his daughter and like gave him lunch. While she's pulling out, there's a lady walking across the parking lot, sales lady, and this guy, like all these guys around, he's like, man, look, and he starts giving all this nasty talk about this lady walking. And I'm like, I'm over here, I'm kind of like, I'm mad. I'm like, dude, you dirty dog, your wife just dropped off your lunch, and your daughter's in the car, and this lady's, and you can't eat. So I always say something. And I was like, man, that's sick. I was like, you need to watch your eyes and your mouth. I said, your wife just dropped. And I said all that to him in front of all these dudes. And he said, there ain't nothing wrong with looking as long as you don't touch. I said, that's not what Jesus said. I was like, I'm a little preachy on him, but I said, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman with lust, it's like committing adultery already. He's like, I didn't know that. I was like, well, that's what I'm telling you. I was like, that's what the Bible says. I said, you need to clean your eyes up, man. And listen, I wasn't preaching down, being all hardcore on him, but I worked around them guys all the time, and that just, you think his wife wanted me to stick up for her? You think his wife would have been like, thank you for confronting my husband on that? Any women would be glad a dude like me was talking to your husband, amen? Be like, clean his eyes up, man. And so, we need to understand what those things are. And anger on our heart towards somebody, Jesus says, like committing murder, man. I got to keep my heart clean from anger toward people. So why do I need to put him off? Here's why. You can never live in the new man if you don't put off the old man. Until you get the crud out, you can't put the right stuff in. Anybody construction workers in here? You done construction. I have a construction background. And whenever you go into renovation, you tear out the old, right? I mean, you don't try to build on top of the old. You got to rip it out. It's easier to rip it out, but you got to get all that stuff out, and then you start fresh. You go to the ground level. You go to the base. You go to the end. I mean, you clean it all out. Our problem is a lot of times we start building on top of crud. We wonder why all that old infection comes back through. Well, I slap some Jesus on. I put some of this on here. I started reading on that. We got all that crud on the inside. We got lying and anger and bitterness and wrath and nasty conversations. And we get all that junk inside of us. We need to get that stuff cleaned out, man. And it doesn't mean we're not going to struggle, but we got to get stuff taken out. There is a one word that we need to get rid of, and it's called sin. We need to get that sin out. I would say this. Unfaithfulness to God usually happens when a believer is faithful to sin. Many Christians start off right because they never give up their sin. They give up on the Savior. People don't want to follow Jesus because they want to follow their sin. It's one or the other. And I will say this. Carrying the whole cross is easier than carrying half of it. Take that thought for a moment. It's a lot easier going all in with Jesus than going halfway. 100%. Because sometimes people say, man, you know, how do you go all in? It's a lot easier going all in than halfway. The most miserable person isn't the lost person, I can promise you. The lost person is, they don't because they don't know. The most miserable person is the person who knows the Lord. They know what they're doing is wrong, but they don't want to give up their sin, and they don't want to give up Jesus, and so they're just kind of like, And so they can't really enjoy Jesus because they feel bad about this, and they can't really enjoy their sin because Jesus is there. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Raise your hand, you know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm not just preaching to myself. So we know how that has been. And we need to get out of that. We can't. And so I'm telling you, always remember, going all in with Jesus is easier than going halfway in. Romans 6, he says this. How do you put off the old man? How do I get him put off? Since you asked, I'll tell you. Romans 6 says, knowing this, that our old man, look what he says here, Romans 6, verse number 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of what? Sin might be what? Destroyed. That word destroyed is a Greek word that means rendered idle, unemployed, no longer, it's deprived of its force, influence, and power. You literally unemploy him. It's no longer available. Let me say it like this. When I got married to my wife and I said, I do, I just at that moment said, I don't to every other woman. Is that true? So does it mean that every woman in the world would be ugly at that point? Does it mean that there couldn't be attractions? But she's like, yes, it means exactly that. You can't be attracted. she's going to light me up afterwards. Walk me out to my car, Mike. Walk me out to my car. But what it does mean is that, you know, my heart is hers now. And that I'm devoted. And again, when you turn your life over to Christ, it doesn't mean the temptations won't be attractive. But what it means is my heart is yours, Lord. I'm all in with you now. And there's got to come that point in time, man. I'm telling you, what God could do with people who turn their all over to Him, when they go all in and be willing to do that. Our physical body is where the sin nature reigns, and it's got to be put off. It's got to be denied. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. When you ask yourself, was it hard to quit certain sins in your life at first compared to how hard it is at this point over those same sins? It's a lot easier now to say no to those things than it was at the very first. I mean, there were things I had to give up after I got saved. I was like, man, that is tough, man. Smoking was the hardest thing I ever quit. I was like, this is terrible. And I was a young guy, and I was like, this is horrible. But you know what? I don't struggle with smoking, ever. Thankful for that. Rick, you don't struggle with smoking anymore. I mean, and so we looking at vape life. But it's a victory that we get over that. So listen to what Jesus said in Luke 9:23. Just one more verse on that point. Jesus said this. He said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny who? Himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So there's a denial of self. I got to do that. Think about it like this. When you used to struggle or have struggled and maybe are struggling with certain sins and addictions and bondages, we get there because many times we have not denied ourselves. We've not chose to like say no to ourselves. We give in to temptation. I want to do it. I just do it. I just give in. I just do it. I just do it. I've asked people this question before. When's the last time you said no to something that you had the ability to do and you wanted to do, but you just said no so that you could just have victory over it? When's the last time you said no to something you know you probably shouldn't do? You know what I mean? Think about that. But some people are like, I haven't denied myself anything. If I want to look at something wrong, I just look at it. If I want to say something wrong, I just say it. If I want to act out in a certain way, I just act out that way. And so when we live an unrestrained life, man, our flesh becomes like a monster. And so we got to deny that. So secondly, not only do you deny yourself, and that's where a lot of people think, well, I quit, and this is how it usually sounds. Well, I quit doing that. I stopped. I gave that up. That's not going to give you freedom. There's two more points. Secondly, you got to change comes by renewing your mind. Verse 23. So you put off the old man. Then in verse 23 it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word renewed means a renovation, a complete change for the better. It's literally tearing out all the crud. Then you start putting in the right stuff. You're renewing it. Luke 6:45, Jesus said this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know why I want to guard what I listen to? Some of you guys referred to music you listen to now or stuff you listen. You know, what goes in will come. Is that true? I mean, when I was young and I used to fight a lot, I used to listen to a group, Pantera. Anybody know that group? I mean, they're terrible. I mean, you know why I got in a lot of fights? How could you not fight when you listen to something like that? I mean, my neighbor, we would fight. I fought the same guy 7 times one summer. You know, it's like you hit the play button and you just want to go fight. And it's just, this is insane. But you corrupt the inside, you turn violent. You listen to violence, you want to be violent. But you listen to wholesome stuff, you listen to godly stuff, and you know what it starts producing? It changes in your heart, doesn't it? So in Ephesians 4:19, Paul says, they are given over to lasciviousness, uncleanness, all this stuff on the inside. And in verse 17, the reason they did, it says, because they had a vain mind, they had a vain thoughts, their understanding, verse 18, he says, was darkened. I mean, they had so much wickedness on the inside. And this church he's writing to was in the center of like, if you went into Ephesus in that day, you would have been shocked with how like wicked it was. You'd have been like this. I thought America was sinful. Oh my goodness. There are prostitutes all over this place. There, the worship of Diana, it was the 7 wonders of the ancient world. This pagan temple is in this city. And there is, like part of their religion is sex with the prostitutes. That's part of what their religion is. That's what they do. I mean, this, what happens when the major religion inside the city is that perverse? Like, you want to get close to God, go have sex with one of the prostitutes. You think America's bad? Imagine living in Ephesus. These people had gotten so messed up in their minds They were living so corrupt and so broken. And he says, you got to change your minds, man. You got to renew your minds. And so he gets into that in verse number 20. He says, you have to learn Christ. You have to learn the truth in verse 21 that's in Jesus, he said. Psalm 119 verse 9 says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let me ask this question. When you had a desire to overcome addiction, when you had a desire to get right and clean, did that transformation just change in a day in your mind, or did it take a long time to get your thinking right? It took a long time. You had to get some thinking right. And you had to start, and you know, how did you get, somebody tell me, how did you get your thinking right?
First, I had to change my behaviors.
You had to change your behaviors. Had to get the bad out. Getting into the Word of God, what you were reading. Coming to church. Praying a lot. New music. I mean, even Mary, you've been for 3 months in a lady. The things you're learning there, Jacob over at Christopher House, things you're learning there, you're filling your mind up with things that on a typical daily basis, those same things aren't going to be filled up. And so they begin to teach you through things. You come to church, you begin to learn through things. Your thinking is different. You think differently. Listen, the way you live different is to think different. You are what you think. You will live out what you think. And listen, that's why you have to become a reader. You have to become somebody. If you got to start, man. And you get your phone. Download some preaching apps like Grace to You, John MacArthur, Chip Ingram is good, James McDonald. You can download Lighthouse Baptist Church's app. We got, I don't know, thousands of messages on there, hundreds and hundreds of messages on there, I should say. And you can listen to those, and they're all free. You can just sit there and listen. So when you're driving to work, man, the Word of God's coming in. You're filling your mind up with truth. You're listening to the right stuff. You're around Christian people where you can hear the right things too. And it begins to change your mind. John 8:32, Jesus said this, you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Let me give you a third point real quick. This is real fast and we're done. So change starts by, number one, putting off the old man. Number two, transforming your mind with God's truth, filling up your mind with the truth. And the third thing is change is complete in verse 24. It says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is so critical, that after you put off the old man and you're renewed in the mind, that you don't stop there. You don't stop there. And this is how this looks. This is the faulty thinking. Well, I stopped doing the wrong behavior. I started reading the Bible, coming to church, and I'm still doing this and this and this and this. Well, the Bible tells us stopping the wrong stuff and learning the right stuff doesn't do anything unless you apply the right stuff. You got to put on the right stuff. You have to turn your hearing into doing, not just listening, but action. Jesus said the fool is the one who hears everything he said and doesn't obey it. He said the wise man is the one who hears my word and obeys it. And so I've been a fool before when I used to hear God's word as a young guy, but I didn't listen to it. I was going to church. I'd read my Bible, but I was living my life. The change happens when you hear the truth, you stop doing the wrong, you hear the truth, and then you begin to apply that truth. Let me say it like this too. Maybe an illustration. If I went out in the field and dug a fence post hole for a fence post, and then it began to rain a little bit, I'm like, I'll finish this tomorrow. So, you know, say it was today I was doing that. I was digging down. I got down about 18 inches, and I dug a big hole for this fence post, and I laid that fence post, and I put the tools up and stuff. Say I didn't get to it in about a week. What do you think would be when I came back there? Would I be like, okay, I got the gravel. We can throw it in there in the fence post. Would it be ready right then? What's it going to be filled up with?
Water.
It'll have mud. It'll have water. It's going to be packed with leaves. It'll have a Walmart bag in it for sure. I mean, it's going to have junk in there. And so what we've done is we can do the fence post thing. I'm going to get rid of the wrong. I got everything ready. I'm learning the right stuff. But until you put it in, if you don't put the right stuff in, it'll just get filled up with other junk. You know what we do?
Often you don't walk the
That's right. And so you have to apply those truths. And if we don't apply those truths, we'll go right back. And so Romans 13:14, let's close with this verse. This is what he says. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust. We got to literally put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, then you will live a righteous in righteousness and true holiness. There will be a transformation. So tonight, if you want to see a change in your life, you got to identify, what are some things I need to stop doing? What are some things? And I'm telling you, if you stay around the old people, places, things, you'll keep doing the same old people, places, and things. You got to change that stuff. So you put off the old man, you renew your mind. So you have to ask the question, where could I change my mind from? And where do I go to? And go to church, man. Sit in the Word of God. Listen and grow in that. And the last thing, obey what you hear. So if you want to change, it starts with your relationship with God. It starts with Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you say, you know what, if I stood before God tonight, Josh, I don't know if I'd make it to heaven. If I stood before God, I don't know if I'd be there. I need a relationship with Him. This is what Jesus said. He said, unless we repent, we would perish. That word perish talks about being separated from God in a real hell. And that's true. That's bad news. That's worse than stage 4 cancer. All of us in here, I think we got a bunch of good, kind people, but I'm telling you, nobody in here is good enough to go straight to heaven. We've all sinned. And Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of God's glory. I'm a pastor, but I can't get to heaven by being good enough. So the Bible tells us that we would sin, that we've been separated from God because of our sin. But God so loved us that He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and He made a way back. Jesus made a way back, and it starts with repentance, which means turning from my sin, turning to Christ, and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, and that whosoever would call on the Lord shall be saved. Nobody in this room is bad enough to be saved. God's door is open to all of us, amen? And He said He is the way. And so if you'd bow your heads with me tonight,